Welcome back again to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this being a Monday morning, the beginning of this week of Bible studies, we're going to begin with this special feature that we started several weeks ago, and that is looking at the bulletin of the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. You see, we have a bulletin where we include various announcements and put various dates, and it gives someone something to go home with. We'll put addresses in the bulletin sometime of people that might need a card or a call, and they can use that kind of as a little worksheet as they go on through their work, and we do our deeds as we look after one another out here at Rock Cliff. And in each bulletin, I try to write a bulletin article, and the bulletin article is pretty much an introduction to or supplement of our summary of the sermon that I'm going to preach that morning. And so I'm going to read to you from the bulletin article when I preached a sermon called Peace with God. Listen to this and think about how this would sound as a sermon. The world longs for peace. Collectively, peace among men, and individually, peace within. The prerequisite for all real peace is peace with God. There is no peace, saith the Lord unto the wicked, Isaiah 48 and verse 22 and Isaiah 57, 21. However, Paul wrote, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. In the book of Romans, Paul justifies God for saving man. Paul introduces his defense of God in Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of Christ. But we did not need the gospel to know that God was righteous. That is revealed to us repeatedly in the Old Testament. It is because God is righteous that sin has consequences. It is the righteousness of God that drove Adam and Eve from the garden, Genesis 3, 22 through 24. It is because of God's righteousness that he destroyed the world with a flood in Genesis 8, 20 through 22, or Genesis 6, 5 through 7. It is the righteousness of God that brought fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 18, 20 and 22. It is because of the righteousness of God that Isaiah said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, Isaiah 59 in verse 2. In thinking of the righteousness of God, Bildad the Shuhite said, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yet the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm? Job 25, 3 through 5. Therefore, knowing that God is righteous, and knowing that all have sinned, and knowing that sin has consequences, and knowing that God is justified for imposing those consequences, how then can God be righteous and justify sinful man? The angels themselves did not know. They desired to look into those things, 1 Peter 1:12. Paul says in context that the righteousness of God in justifying man is revealed in the gospel of Christ. After showing that all have sinned, and that therefore all are under condemnation, Paul writes of something made manifest in the gospel of Christ that was not manifest under the law. Therefore, we read in Romans 3, 20 through 26, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them, him which believeth in Jesus. The text says, now the righteousness of God is manifested. That means God's righteousness is revealed. Jesus is the propitiation. And shedding his blood, he satisfied the righteous requirements for the consequences of sin. This is what justifies God's forbearance. And this is what declares his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Paul writes to declare, I say, at this time. This time of Romans 3:26 is the now of Romans 3:21. To declare it is to reveal it. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How our righteous God can be justified in justifying unrighteous man is not revealed in the Old Testament, but it is now revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the propitiation that empowers God to save man. That is why the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The gospel of the propitiation of Christ Jesus empowers God to save everyone that believe us. And that brings us back to our text. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. There is no peace without justification. And there is no justification without Jesus. Well, that was the sermon that Sunday morning. I would invite you to come hear me preach sermons like that. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we're going to get back to our regular Bible studies. We've been studying the history in the Old Testament in the time of Judges. And most of that is found in the book of Judges. And then we also studied the story of Ruth, which is took place during the days when the judges ruled and the judges judged. And now we've come to the book of 1 Samuel. And the beginning of 1 Samuel is also about the judges. What this have in our little Sunday school book, because we've been studying Elam's notes of old Sunday school lessons. And he has a Sunday school lesson here for March the 2nd, 1924. And the title of the lesson is The Revival Under Samuel. And we're going to read the lesson text, 1 Samuel 7, 5 through 13. But first, Elam suggested that we read the first seven chapters of 1 Samuel. And that is what I'm going to be glad to do. We won't get it all done, of course, in this class, but this is such an interesting introduction to the rest of this time about Samuel and Saul and David and Solomon and the kings that follow. It's a beautifully interesting story, and it is most beautifully and interesting told. And so let me read to you now from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city from year to year to worship and to sacrifice to Jehovah of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests unto Jehovah, were there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But Jehovah had shut up her womb, and her rival provoked her sore to make her fret, because Jehovah had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, she went up to the house of Jehovah. So she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten at Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest was sitting upon his seat by the doorpost of the temple of Jehovah, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto Jehovah, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Jehovah of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto Jehovah all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before Jehovah, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before Jehovah. Count not thy handmaid for a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and my provocation have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thy handmaid find favor in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before Jehovah, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and Jehovah remembered her. And it came to pass, when the time was come, about that Hannah was conceived, and bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of Jehovah. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto Jehovah the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before Jehovah and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him, only Jehovah establish his word. So the woman tarried and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of meal and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of Jehovah in Shiloh. And the child was young. And she slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli and said, O my Lord, as my soul liveth, I am the woman that stood by thee praying to Jehovah. For this child I prayed, and Jehovah hath given me the petition I ask him. Therefore also I've granted him to Jehovah as long as he liveth. He is granted to Jehovah, and he worshiped Jehovah there.